that to live the Christian life is not going to be an easy life. It's not a bed of roses, but you've become enrolled in this battle, in this intense struggle. Let's take a look this morning, though, at the words of John in the book of 1 John chapter 2. Take a look there with me. We're going to read a few verses. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, 16, and 17. John tells us, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Let's pray. So, my Lord, I thank you for the story that we've just heard from Miss Jen. For the reminder today, Lord, that we are to follow after wisdom, to follow after you, after your word. Lord, put a hunger in us, put a thirst in us for your word and truth. May we live our lives by it. Father, I pray that we would guard ourselves, our hearts, against an attitude of worldliness. Make us aware. Help us to understand what it is and to avoid it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So these verses today focus in on the world, and the Bible very clearly here says that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now there's going to be a distinction here between not loving the world and the fact that God loves the world, that we're to love the people in the world, but we're not to love the world. So what does the Bible mean when it talks about what we call worldliness? What do we mean when we talk in terms of being a worldly individual? I believe that worldliness is something that is impacting a lot of churches. It's one of the greatest problems in so many churches today. Worldly-minded Christians. It ruins our effectiveness for the Lord. It robs us of spiritual power. Worldliness is a tremendous problem in the lives of so many. Now, sometimes you've heard the term a worldly Christian. I read about one individual, a preacher named Billy Sunday, that used to make fun of this term, worldly Christian. And he said, why to talk about a worldly Christian makes about as much sense as talking about a heavenly devil. It makes as much sense as talking about a heavenly devil. God's people, Christians, are not to be worldly. It is an oxymoron. Just this morning on the way in to the car park, Harry was driving, and we saw this car drive by the other side of the road. It was a Mini. Do you guys like Minis? But this Mini was a huge Mini. And so Harry made the comment, "Boy, that's a really big Mini." I said, "Harry, that really makes no sense when you think about it. That's an oxymoron, a really big Mini." But in the same way, a worldly Christian should sound like an oxymoron in our ears as well. That just doesn't make sense. When you see a person, though, who claims to know Jesus as their Savior, and yet their lifestyle resembles the world more than it resembles the lifestyle of a believer, then you have to question something. You have to question whether or not this person has really had a genuine saving experience with Jesus Christ. You have to question it. You have to wonder. So this morning, please listen carefully, Christian. Listen carefully. First of all, listen to a warning. Let's review verse number 15. The warning is, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this warning here, it begins first of all with a command. And the command is, do not love the world. The word that's translated here is a verb in the present tense. In other words, it could read, stop loving the world. Or don't go on, don't continue loving the world. What does the Bible mean when it says, do not love the world? The Greek word for world here is cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos simply means an order or arrangement of things. That's the Greek word, and that's the word that's used here when we see don't love the world. Don't love the cosmos. Don't love the order and arrangement of things as it is now. We hear the word cosmos and we think of our galaxy, right? We think of the stars and the planets, and that's where this comes from. We've taken that because it means an order and arrangement of things. When we talk about the cosmos, we're referring to the order of the planets and the stars and the system and how everything works together. You've heard of cosmopolitan. It comes from this word too. It's an order arrangement of things. Order of a particular city and how it works and functions. The cosmopolitan area. Cosmos. And so in this verse of Scripture, when the warning is don't love the world, it's referring to an arrangement of things in this world that is hostile to God. An attitude, an arrangement, and order of things that is contrary to God and has been so from the time of the fall. It's a system of ideas, a system of activities, of people who are in active rebellion against God. They hate God. They are in rebellion against Him. This is the cosmos. And John here is saying, don't love the cosmos. Don't love this order of things, things that are against God. Don't love the world. We talk about things like the world of sports. What are we referring to? We're referring to everything that revolves around the subject that we're talking about. When we talk about the world of politics, or the world of work, or world of computers, world of fill in the blank, we're referring to everything that revolves around the subject that we're talking about. And the Bible talks about the world as a system of things that is organized in active hostility and rebellion against God. And it talks about the wisdom of this world and the spirit of this world. There is an arrangement. There is a system. And Satan is a part of that. Satan is at the head of that. And it's an active hatred and rebellion against God. And the Christian has been saved from this system, from this cosmos. The Christian has been called out from it, has been redeemed. And he has a new life. The Christian has a new home, and this world is not the home. This cosmos is not his home anymore. Moving from the definition, he continues in verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. That statement describes for us what worldliness is about. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you want me to explain to you in detail what all the worldly things are that you need to avoid? Probably some of you would like for me to give you a nice lengthy list today of all the things that are worldly, all the things that I think that you should avoid and stay away from that we would term worldly. But I'm not going to give you that this morning. I'm not going to give you some specific things to write down as worldly things that you just ought not to do, ought not to be a part of. And I'll tell you why. One of the reasons is, it'd be a long time, a long message. But more importantly, I think many of you would rather argue with me about it anyway. You'd rather argue with me and say, I don't think that is. Or perhaps I'm not as complete enough as you would like it to be. I don't go far enough for you. But let me tell you something even more serious than that, though. If I gave you a list of things that I told you that would be worldly, and then you want to go by that list of things, and then you'd feel that if you adhere to that list of things fairly well and comprehensively, that you'd be in pretty good spiritual shape in your relationship with the Lord, and it would probably lead to pride anyway. When you get into that kind of situation, you're well on your way to becoming a legalistic, pharisaical Christian. And some people want to define what it means to be a Christian on the basis of all these things that they don't do, things that they take pride in saying, I am adhering to this, I am doing this. But there's more to being a Christian than that. Some of the most legalistic, some of the most judgmental, and yes, some of the most unloving people that I've known are people who have their own little list of things that they work at keeping, that they have been told, stay away. This is a worldly list. You see, this world is a system of things that organizes itself in rebellion against God, and then is a system of things that causes you to love God, love the Father, less and less. And it pulls you away from God rather than draws you to Him closer and closer. My friends, are you trying to be a worldly Christian? Next, let's look at an explanation. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard of these three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the, and the pride of life. We have this threefold description of what John says is in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. He says that's not of the Father, it's of the world. It's of the cosmos. The world systems, its attitudes, its rebelliousness towards God. The lust of the flesh can be likened to the physical pressure that goes against God that's exerted in our life. Physical pressure, lust of the flesh. We'll talk about that in a moment. The lust of the eyes. It takes place more mentally. It's in the brain. It's a mental pressure. And the pride of life is that spiritual pressure. The lust of the flesh, though, let's start with the lust of the flesh. That is the sinful desire or passion which makes its appeal to your fallen sinful nature. The lust of the flesh. There are certain physical desires that we all have, that are normal in and of themselves, and there's nothing wrong with them. God made us in certain ways to have these physical desires. A couple of them, for example, one is the desire for food. We all need food, right? Some of you need a little less than others, but we all need food. And it's a good desire. We have that desire. We go without for a while, and one of the things we start looking for is, what can I eat? I need something. My flesh is craving something. Now, for some, this becomes a struggle because the appeal, the pressure that is put on your physical desires, the lust of the flesh, it can become It can turn, even that can turn into a sinful thing, and you become controlled by your appetites. It becomes obsession to you. And we see a lot of that in the world today. Sex is another physical desire that God programmed in us and made us to have. There is nothing wrong with sexual desire. And the Bible makes it very plain that sex is a gift from God. God designed it. God created it. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Nothing's wrong with that desire. But it becomes a lust of the flesh when you try to fulfill that desire, that God-given desire, in any abnormal or forbidden way. God designed it. And we must follow His design and His description, prescription, His instructions for this desire that He's put in us. But these are examples of physical desires. And when ungodly pressure is placed upon us, it becomes unhealthy. It could become the lust of the flesh. You see, a lot of what you get comes through this. And the next thing that John points to is the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. That thing that appeals to us through that, even that visual sense. The eyes have desires. We've often used terminology like feast your eyes on this. In other words, take a look at this. Isn't this appealing? Isn't this going to appeal to your senses and your desires? Isn't looking at it going to make you want this? That's why growing up, when I was a kid in Sunday school, I remember singing this little song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." Anybody else know that? "For your Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." David's a good example. A good example not only of positive traits, but also a warning of some issues he struggled with. He had some physical pressure exerted upon him, the lust of the flesh. He was married, and he could have had his desires met legitimately. Yet we see one day on his rooftop, his eyes lusted, saw something, created a desire within, a mental struggle within. And then the pride of life was that spiritual pressure was affected where he didn't even feel that he was accountable to God, that he was able to get away with it all, that nothing could stop. He was king after all. And it wasn't until that time when the prophet came to him and said, "David, you've sinned, you've done wrong." And David became a broken man. He did repent. He did seek the Lord. But we see this happening all the time. Christians, guard yourself against worldliness. These pressures that come upon us, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these words are still applicable to us today. Then John makes a closing remark. Verse 17. He says, "The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." John here is giving us a word of exclamation. That is that exclamation point on the end. He said there are two basic things here he exclaims. The first is that the world passes away and the lust thereof. The world is passing away. Highlight that or underline that in your Bible. Put an exclamation point at the end of that. The world passes away and the lust thereof. The tense of this verb is a present tense. The world is passing away. It is now in the process of passing away. The world is on the way out now. It's passing away. Don't put your hopes in this world. Don't put your love in this world. John reminds us it's temporary, it's passing away. Have you ever heard the expression from somebody to try to speak of something that is certain? And they might say something like, as sure as the sun rises tomorrow, as sure as there's another day tomorrow. Well, John's reminding us here that if you're putting your trust in that, that's not very certain. Because this world is passing away. Everything in this world and the lust of it and the sin in it, everything is going to be made anew. Nothing of this old is going to be transferred into the new. And that's why every person must be born again, because nothing from the old can be transferred into the new. You must be saved. You must be born again, because if you haven't, you're still part of the old system, part of the old cosmos, part of the world system. And the leader of the world system is Satan. You must be born again. The world passes away. It's on the way out. Nothing from this world can give us permanent satisfaction. The world always gives the best first, but then it seems to get worse and worse and worse. The pleasures of the world are temporary pleasures. Temporary. They are pleasures, but it's so temporary. John reminds us this world is passing away. But there's one more exclamation point, and that is, he that does God's will abides forever. Now, God's will begins with each sinner coming to him through Jesus Christ, repenting of all their sins and trusting him to be their Lord and their Savior. And then, as believers who have genuinely been washed by the blood of Jesus, our sins have been cleared and taken away from us. That faith is evidenced in our life as we walk with our Lord, as we obey him, as we follow his instructions, as we hide his word in our hearts, as we are transformed by the renewing of our mind through his word. That faith that we proclaim, that we profess, is evidenced in that. It can be seen. It can be visible. And so John says, he that does God's will, he that does God's will, they are saved. They are walking with the Lord. They are true believers and true children of God. They abide forever. The world is not going to last. This cosmos that we think of as so certain is not going to last. God says it's going to come to an end. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But as I said, nothing from the old will be transferred over into the new. Are you born again? I hope so. Christian, is your heart longing more for the things of the world and all that it has to offer and give you? Are you thinking that it is normal to be a worldly Christian? To have the attitudes and mindset and loves and actions and words and everything? There seems to be no difference between you and the world. There's no place for a worldly Christian. Don't be a worldly Christian. Please stand with me. With your head bowed for the next few minutes, it's time to respond to what God is speaking to us about. Listen, I'm going to have an invitation time. We've always had an invitation time at the church to always give someone a chance to respond to what God is convicting them about. And I encourage you to use this time. Use this time to take care of some things between you and the Lord. Maybe as a believer, there's some things in your life that you know are displeasing to Him. And as David wrote once, just come and bow before the Lord and say, God, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. And as He reveals it to you, you confess it to Him. You repent of it and say, Lord, by Your grace, I want to stop this. I want to leave this attitude, this action, this way of living. Maybe in your heart you know that you've had a worldly mentality, a worldly attitude. I encourage you today, confess that before the Lord and say, God, I want to have a godly attitude. I want to hunger for Your things, Your truth, Your life. Maybe your need is salvation. And my brothers, my sisters, I want to encourage you. There may be some in this place that haven't never trusted the Lord. Would you be praying right now? Pray right now for these. Pray right now that God would just have a freedom in this place to convict and work and minister in their hearts. And by the Holy Spirit, that He would draw them to their knees before Him. We need to pray together on this. What is God speaking to you about, though? Please don't waste invitation time. It's not just a time where we hear some lovely music in the background, but it's a time of response to our God. What is God doing in your heart? What is He saying to you? What is He pointing out in your life? Do something about it. Don't just listen to the lovely words and then leave this place to continue as normal. But listen to God. He's calling to you. There's something that He's saying to you, whether it be for salvation, or whether it be some repentance in your life. This invitation is for you. As we open it, you're welcome to come. If you desire to talk with someone or pray with someone, with everyone's head bowed, just come and whisper to me, Pastor Ken, I need to pray with someone. I need to talk to someone. Lord, Your will be done, I pray, as Your people, as everyone in this room, Lord, contemplates what it is that You are saying to them. I pray, Father, that we would respond to You. I pray that we would confess our worldliness, where our thoughts and attitudes and our hearts and longing and desires are for the things of this cosmos more than the things of our God, our Savior, our Father. If there's any who are struggling with their own salvation and maybe they've been very religious in many things and many ways in the past, but they've never come to true faith, they've never trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray today You would draw them to Him, I pray, in Jesus' name. And with the music playing, this is your time to respond to the Lord. Would you come? Would you come? There's room here to pray at the front, to pray with others. Will you respond? Don't wait. Don't wait. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, I confess, Lord, any attitude, in my life that is more like the world than like my Father, my Savior. I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse me, that you would convict me, that you would give me your power, your strength to live in obedience to your word. Give me a greater longing and desire for the truth. I pray, Father, that I would be always on guard against things that put pressure on me for the lust of the flesh or eyes or the pride of life. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for saving my soul, forgiving me and cleansing me of all of my sins. And if there's any who are still torn inside, unsure, conflicted, I pray that you would just show yourself, that you would pour out your grace to them, that, Lord, your Spirit would do a work in their heart, that you, Lord, would bring them to the saving faith of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat for a few moments. We have some announcements.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. Always challenging to hear from the Word of God, and I hope that it challenged your heart as well this morning. Pastor Ken and myself will be right up here at the front at the end of the service. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer or just need to speak with us, then please come and see us. Also, next Sunday morning, we'll have our brother Casey Wong. He'll be here ministering to us through Word, and then at the 10 o'clock hour, he will be sharing with us some of his ministry that the Lord has called him to overseas. So don't miss next Sunday morning right here at 8:30, and then again 10 o'clock for sharing time about ministering overseas, and then 11 o'clock worship service. In our announcements this morning, if you have your bulletin, just on the inside pages, let's take a look at this. Quite a few things coming up, so just be patient with us for a moment as we get to you these different ministries that will be starting back up. The Baptist Training College and the BTCP classes, that will all be beginning this coming week, starting on Tuesday. Now, that means that everyone who is planning to enroll in BTCP or in the additional classes, which is for those who have graduated and would like some additional training, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. That's when we need you here. We need you for the registration time. We need you here for the introduction and the instruction. You can see that not only in the BTCP, but for those who have graduated the two-year program, there is a third-year offering, and this will be the theology class. Pastor John will be teaching this. We also didn't necessarily put this one in the bulletin, but there is the biblical counseling. Some of you have asked about the biblical counseling. That will also be on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. So if you're interested in that, Pastor John is the one that you need to see. The biblical counseling, come and see me, and we'll set you up for the times and the books and everything to get it started. But Tuesday night is when you need to be here. Friday night, the youth group, Y Lead, that starts back coming up on Friday, the 5th of February, 7 o'clock. So if you have any questions about the teen group, then see Pastor Chad about that, and he will give you all the details, everything that's starting back. Also, as I mentioned a moment ago, our normal schedule of services starts next Sunday. So we'll have 8:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock Sunday school, and then 11 o'clock. And as I mentioned, Brother Casey will be here to share with us during the worship service next week. The Overcomers Support Group, this is something that we're starting up on Sunday evenings from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And the Overcomers is designed for those who need encouragement, as well as would like to be an encouragement to others in trials or difficulty, or just times that's in your life that you say, wow, this has been pretty hard, I need some of that encouragement. Come along Sunday night at 5 o'clock from 5 to 7, whether it's relationship or whether it's just disappointments or frustrations, things that in life has pressed you down, the Lord has the answer, and we'll be going through those 10 points of the Overcomers on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock. Also, the ladies' ministry. Remember the ladies' ministry we had last week? We had a sample of the ballet and the by testimony, Mercy Hope and Carolyn Curry. Well, they will be here for the ladies' tea. That's the 13th of February. That's at, I think it's at 2 o'clock. Is that right? Let me look. I lost my place here. Oh, yes, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. ladies' tea right here at IBC. You're invited to bring a friend along to that as well. And we have some flyers that are in the back, so be sure and pick up some of the flyers. What we'd like for you to do, ladies, is just sign the little list back there that indicates that you're coming. That's only so that we can make sure we have enough of the food and the snacks and everything prepared. If you're bringing a guest, just put that person's name down as well. But you're welcome to bring friends, family, those outside of IBC that you think would be blessed by this. You'll hear the story of the cross, and there's no better story to share than the story of the cross. Also, baptismal's coming up in 2 Sundays, on the 14th of February during the 10 o'clock hour, so we'll have some baptisms of those who have recently trusted the Lord. And that's also the Sunday, the 14th of February, that we'll be celebrating Chinese New Year. And the theme for that is, Are You Blessed? So be sure and invite as many of your Chinese friends as you can to come along for that. You'll hear some good singing, you'll hear a message that's focused around the gospel, and we'll be celebrating the Chinese New Year on that day. Also, new members class, that is going to be starting up on the 21st of February. If you've been attending IBC for quite some time and you've not taken that step of membership, we would like to invite you to come out to this class the 21st of February at 10 o'clock, and that will give you an explanation of who this church is. I mean, you come along during the worship times, but we want you to know some details about who we are, and that way you can make a good informed decision as you join with us in membership. Well, I think that's all of the announcements that we need to make, other than continue to pray for our missionaries, John and Rosemarie Redshaw. They were here last week. I think they're coming in pretty soon to give us a bit of a report and an update. We want to continue to pray for them, as well as each of our other missionaries that we have mentioned over the past months. Their letters are on the board in the back. And then, of course, be sure and see our brother Wesley and his wife Priscilla, their family, before they leave, so you can say to them your goodbyes, as well as offer up a prayer for them and make sure that you do that. Okay, I think that's all of the announcements, but before we're dismissed, if you're celebrating a birthday this week or an anniversary, we would like to celebrate with you. Is there anyone that's celebrating a birthday this week from today, Sunday, through next Saturday? Or if we missed you last week, then we'd like for you to come up as well. Come on up, JoJo. JoJo, our young man that he is. JoJo, anyone else? Come on over here. All right. Birthday. Anyone else celebrating a birthday? Anyone else? Come on up. Birthday. How about wedding anniversaries? Is there anyone celebrating wedding anniversaries? Danny and Milo. Come on up, Danny and Milo. Anniversary. Anyone else celebrating an anniversary? Anniversary or birthday? Anyone else? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday first, and then we'll come back and sing Happy Anniversary. Let's all sing together. Happy Birthday.
How many years? 28? Oh, good. 30 coming up.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Danny and Milo, 28 years. Amen. Amen. Congratulations, everybody. All right, let's bow our heads. As was mentioned, we are on the 14th going to be having a baptism service at 10 o'clock. If you are here, if you're a new believer and in recent times you have come to faith, you're invited to come and talk to me about this, inquire. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us and your word. Thank you for all that has been said and done in this place, for the encouragement of worship time. And as we gather around your word, Lord, I pray that we would leave, that you would bless us. Lord, that we would be a shining light, that our attitudes and hearts, our minds would be more like Christ and less like the world. Father, work in our hearts and lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You're dismissed.